So today, we just heard another Easter story, but one from a different angle. This one involves two disciples going home after everything took place. They were devastated, downtrodden, and confused. They heard the news of Jesus rising from the dead, but they did not yet believe it. In a strange twist, Jesus himself came to walk alongside them, and they didn't recognize him. Even though their hearts were burning as he spoke. And just so we're clear, this metaphor of their hearts burning was referring to the emotional connection they felt to his teaching. It wasn't the kind of heart burning that would have required an Alka-Seltzer. But it wasn't until Jesus broke the bread, when he celebrated the Eucharist with them, that they recognized him. At that moment, he was taken from their eyes. But it didn't matter, because that's when they knew Jesus was alive. That moment of sharing the Eucharist with him was enough to wake them up to this new reality. They knew that Jesus had risen from the dead, and God was working immense goodness in the world. One thing worth paying attention to is how this simple act, which is also for us a sacred ritual, is so packed with meaning, and is so important for both the vitality of Christians and for the communities in which they live. It's sometimes fashionable to dismiss such things as, oh, this is death, that's just a mere ritual, as if it is somehow devoid of meaning. But I found the exact opposite is true. Celebrating the Eucharist has so much meaning, touches people on such a deep level that you can benefit from it your entire life and still not exhaust all of its possibilities, all of its depths. And that's because the Eucharist, like Jesus himself, is goodness made manifest to us, made manifest in a very tangible form. Taking part in this goodness on a regular basis shapes the innermost heart of the Christian. You know, one of the major casualties I see of the coronavirus pandemic is overall church attendance. Both here at St. Francis and even nationwide, we're seeing overall participation in the Eucharist at about 50% of what it once was. And this isn't limited to Christianity either. One of my hobbies has always been martial arts, and lately I've been catching up on some YouTube videos, and some of them are pretty interesting. Some karate instructors have gone to Okinawa, the birthplace of karate, and interviewed these very high-ranking instructors. And the one that really caught my attention was this man who was a ninth-degree black belt. So that's really far up there. The highest you get is a tenth-degree black belt, so he was a ninth-degree. And he was talking about how a lot of people weren't that interested in karate anymore. So his dojo itself was kind of empty. Thinking to myself, wow, I would love for an opportunity to just sit with somebody who's that good at it and learn from them. And here, people in his own backyard, even their national heritage, they just weren't interested. Seems that somehow, for some reason, globally, we're struggling to accept, to participate in, to embrace those things that give life meaning, that connect us to each other, to our past, and to help shape our lives. There's a political commentator named George Will, and in his book, The Woven Figure, he describes at least one form of conservatism. One of the goals is to conserve these little silos of everyday life that impart values and morals to each of the people who participate in them. Such silos might be faith communities, family, civic organizations, schools, etc., etc. The idea is that the influence of one would affect and strengthen the influence of others. For example, someone who is a participant in the Lions Club would be influenced by the altruism of that organization, who would bring that value home, which would influence his or her family. And church is really no different, at least on one level. Church is no different. Because the values imparted when you hear God's word proclaimed your own heart is burning within you when you celebrate the Son of God's self-sacrifice, when you see God throughout history as repairing and restoring human dignity, you can't help but bring those values with you into your home, workplace, and other human-to-human interactions. One of the mistakes I feel that we made, I mean, as like as a whole, as a worldwide church, during this coronavirus shutdown, is we gave an unintentional message. I don't think anybody intended to do this, but it happened nonetheless. The world around us was saying, only essential services should remain open, and we remain closed. In doing so, we mistakenly gave the impression that church and the Eucharist are not essential services. The fact is, nothing can be farther from the truth. I remember one particular December, I received news that we were shutting down then, and would most likely remain so for Christmas. And I informed the congregation, I received a very witty email asking if we could perhaps have services over at Lowe's, because they were still open. The email made me smile at the time, and I really felt like I needed this. Because I do believe that what we do here matters, and what we do here is important. So what are the goods of attending church and participating in the Eucharist? What are these things that are worth holding on to? The gospel narrative, we heard how the disciples' hearts were burning within them as Jesus explained the scriptures to them. So one good you can tell from this is the moral development that occurs from hearing scriptures proclaimed, by reflecting on them, by just receiving and listening to the tales of God's work throughout history. You can't help but be changed little by little by encountering the Word of God, just like the disciples were. So another good that takes place is the connection we have with God. I'm always amazed that even after everything recorded in Scripture, after Christ's incarnation, after his self-sacrifice on the cross, after doing all of that great work, that God still becomes present to us in the Eucharist and encourages us to have communion with him, you know, to be one, building relationship. It's a type of connection. So the third good that I'm going to mention today is, along with the connection to God, is the connection we have with one another, human connections that occur. Church is a unique place in that when we're here, we make a point of welcoming everybody. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have the right clothes or live in the right area. Everyone who shows up is welcome and can be a member if he or she chooses to. So even if a person doesn't embrace the spiritual aspects, even though I certainly hope they will, those are very important, but even if a person just comes, they will still grow morally and ethically by just the regular contact they have with other people from other walks of life. Because if everyone is welcome, you're going to encounter people from a different tax bracket. You're going to encounter people from a different neighborhood or a different political party. You'll talk to them at coffee hour and after services. You'll build relationships. You'll see different people as human beings and learn a little bit more about what it is like to be them. In short, you'll get better at loving your neighbor as yourself. Now, this day and age where everybody is so fractured, isn't that something we need? Is it important for us to come together and learn to love and be in community with one another, despite differences? I fear that these days many people are walking a similar road to disciples, when they're in this state, Jesus came to them breaking bread in their midst. And for those today, church still exists, but in a different way. It still exists in their midst. For those who participate, we have an opportunity to impact those who do not. Everyone still needs Christ, but if they're not directly here, we can still bring them a measure of goodness, simply by staying connected to the church, to God, and to each other, and to other people. All those connections become so important. I truly believe one of the reasons Jesus was known to his disciples in the breaking of the bread was that he knew we would need this little silo thousands of years later. Although it's really not that little, is it? It's huge. But it is an important part of our lives. Through the gift of the Eucharist, we may maintain connection with God